This stuff will be preached overseas at pastors' conferences, and who knows, maybe someday in the States at pastors' meetings and such. But this one's pretty tough. But I was a little bit surprised just how much the Bible says about it, and I didn't realize just how much I had on this issue. And Matthew 13. So this is, I believe, number 7, and for ministry, the foundation of ministry. And preparing people for the heat. Preparing people for the heat. And Matthew 13, verse 3. And he spake a parable unto them, or he spake unto them many things in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. And some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and thorns sprung up and choked them, but other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some in 100, some in 60, some in 30-fold. And then skip over to the explanation of the parable of the sower, and down to verse 19. And when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which is sown in his heart. This is he which received the seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed by the into stony places, the same is he which heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it, yet hath no root in himself, but endureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, speak to us and give us your insight, your wisdom, your thinking. Prepare us to be good Christians, Lord. And I pray that at least one of us become a better Christian because of this lesson. And certainly we learn how to influence lives and prepare lives. And to ourselves also stay in the fight. We need your help. We need your blessing to understand your word. And I pray you speak to us now in Jesus' name. Amen. So it's always one of the things I love. My friend Brother Hinata there in the Philippines, or in Haiti, he's Filipino. And one of the things he says, he uses the phrase by and by still. English is his third language. And so every once in a while I'll say, hey, are we going to go visit Brother so-and-so? And he'll say, by and by. And so I love that. And don't see that phrase very often. But here, by and by, they are, the it says, they are offended. And we see these things here. It talks about a seed that grew, that was planted, and it went into the, if you go over to verse 5, fell among stony places where it had not much earth, and forthwith it sprung up because it had no deepness of earth when the sun was up. And so the definition of that is verse 21, yet hath no root in himself, but endureth for a while, for in tribulation or persecution ariseth because the word, by and by he is offended. So the teaching here is that some people, they grow. You see, it sprung up. It was alive. And I believe it's the same person here. But this person receives the word, and then heat comes. The sun scorches them. And it talks about persecution here in this part. And that new life withers away. And so if you want to influence people, you have to understand that there is going to be a heat on a believer and someone following Christ. When I go to the mission field, one of the things I always do is I prepare them for several things. And one of the things I prepare them for is the heat, because I never go to Iceland and I never go to cold countries. I always go to jungly, hot, steamy countries, it seems like. And I'm not a heat guy, and Seattle is not exactly, you know, the hottest place in the world. Even if you're in the Northeast or something, you get, you know, hot, little steamy summers, but we don't get that here. And so I prepare people for that, and I say it's really, really hot. And so I really prep them for that, bring the right type of clothing, bring sunscreen, do all those things. And multiple times I've taken people, and they said, you know, it's hot, but it's not as hot as I thought. Well, if I wouldn't have told them it was hot, they would have been scorched, but they were prepared for it. They were ready for it. They kind of knew. It's like you give you a pepper and say, hey, have a bite of this. I don't tell you it's hot. Then you're like dying. But if you think it's hot, then you're prepared for it. And I think that's good in the Christian life, to be prepared for that. And you're ready for it. There is a heat coming when you serve the Lord. But it's different from the world. The Bible, let me read you a couple of verses here, and I'll give you references, but let me have you turn to John 16. Let me read to you 2 Corinthians while you're turning there, and 2 Corinthians chapter 7, and verse 10, "For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death." You know, we're in a different phase of history right now. And a different mindset in our minds right now. We are in the phase of history of trying to sterilize ourselves from all suffering, okay? And that's what society is all about. It's either numbing it through entertainment or numbing it through trying to remove any kind of risk or any kind of trouble that might happen to somebody, or we are medicating people out of it or entertaining them out of it. I mean, we're trying to get rid of but traditionally people understood, and people still around the world understand, life on earth is very difficult and troublesome and dangerous and crazy, okay? Now, we live in the safest society in the history of the world. I mean, we're very safe, and we got a lot of safeguards, and we have insurance and all these things, and I'm not against that. Insurance is good. I have life insurance for my wife and for me, in case something happens to me, and we have insurance in our house and cars and all that stuff because you have to, and all those things. It's nothing wrong with that. But I'm saying people nowadays live in this world of if there's sorrow, something's bad and wrong or a mistake, where, you know, you till the ground by the sweat of your brow. And so they kind of live in a la-la land and always kind of unhappy and wonder why, because bad things happen. Then they get mad at God saying, why do bad things happen? It's part of this curse of the world. Bad things happen. It's the world. We just happen to live in a very nice society where mostly good things happen. Okay? Not like that everywhere. Not like that. Wasn't always like that in America. Okay? you might go settle property. You might get wiped out by Indians. Okay? Lots of bad things. Historically, life's rough. And so we are prepared for sorrow. Now, the sorrow of the world worketh death, the Bible says. It doesn't do you any good. It's a waste of a good suffering, okay? You go out and do bad things and you sorrow and you suffer and it doesn't benefit you at all. Godly sorrow and things that come in hardship for Christ, you get rewarded in heaven and it changes you and makes you better and a lot of different things like that. So, if you can get people in the mindset where you're going to suffer either way. But see, many people come out of the world who had a terrible, terrible time in the world. They came out of drugs. They came out of, just a disaster or a terrible marriage or a bad home or they went into deep sin and found it didn't satisfy. They worked their tail off and earned a bunch of money and found out money doesn't satisfy, or they lost everything or they, whatever. They come out of the misery of the world. They come to Christ and they get the hardships of being a Christian, which is Satan attacking you more, basically. Like, man, this is still 10 times better. I've always felt like that. I have never thought the Christian life is a burden, but I thought it's tough. But so's playing a football game. I wrestled my son last night, and in the middle of a wrestling match, he punched me in the mouth. And it was an accident, but he just hit me just wrong. You know, when you get hit just wrong, it kind of smashes your lips against your teeth. You know what? That's okay. I'm wrestling with my son. And he's strong, and that's fine. And the Christian life is going to be tough. And you got to prepare people for that. If you want to disciple them, and you got to be prepared for that, or the devil's going to get you when things go bad, and you're going to be mad at God. Or you're going to be miserable, you're going to quit, you're going to throw up your arms. And it's part of the deal. Just some points here. after salvation, and by the way, that's why third world Christians continue on better than first world Christians, because they can handle hardships. And understand this, almost all of us are soft. You don't think you are. I know you think you're tough. All of us think we're tough. But understand, if I threw you in Haiti, you would be begging to get back to America very quickly. Okay? You'd say, I have to eat what? I have to drink what? It's not going to get cold. It's not going to go below 90 tonight. There's no fans. The heat's out for 2 days. There's no running water. I take a shower with a bucket and pour it over my head, and I don't have any soap. You would find out you have a lot of nice things in life, and we all, and that's not a bad thing about you or I. Charlie, you grew up very poor and rough, and He won't take his kids where he grew up. They couldn't handle it, he says. And he grew up in a very poor part of China and stuff like that. And some of our immigrants could tell the story, certainly. But most of us are pretty soft now. Okay? And so we've got to prepare ourselves for hardships. Okay? And be ready for that. So number one, just some thoughts here. After salvation, they need to count the cost of discipleship. Let's look at John 16. So there's a sorrow that comes along with it. And I think it helps people to be prepared for that. In other words, they're ready for the heat. You didn't just take them to a hot country and they're wearing a sweater. John 16 and verse 22. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. Remember, there's a sorrow, but it's not the same kind of sorrow as the world brings. It's okay in the end. It's God helps you in it. Verse 33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. Okay, you're going to have peace. It's going to be okay. In this world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So I want you to understand, it is not entering into the Christian life is, oh, it's going to be miserable. Oh, it's going to be so bad. That's not that at all. It's be of good cheer. I've spoken to you that you might have peace, but you're going to have tribulation. And you tell a new Christian, you say, listen, this Christian life, the Satan's going to attack you and try to get you out of church, going to try to get you discouraged. Some bad things might happen, never happened before to you. You might really go through some battles. Some people might make fun of you. You might have some family members who won't talk to you anymore. But understand, the Christian life and having God's presence and serving the Lord is so much better than the world. That's the approach you take, okay? If you don't include both those things, you're not including what they're supposed to hear. Okay, let's go to Luke. And there's a lot of verses on this. Luke 14. A lot of verses on this. So it's a counting the cost thing. Counting the cost thing. I used to. And I don't tell my thoughts very often. I used to kind of wonder, am I doing something wrong? Because I, as a pastor, I find that most ministries are always trying to be bubbly and keep positive and tell you everything's great, everything's good, and you're going to be happy, and it's going to go well, and everything's going to be blessed. And I just never saw it biblically, and I'm not very good. I either just tell the truth, and I can't say things very tactfully, so I just say it, okay? And so for many years, I thought, maybe I need to just be more, you know, everything's going to be great, everything's going to be good, and sound more. But I just couldn't do it biblically, okay? And I want to, not that I'm not saying the Christian life's great, I'm just saying it's war out there. Wars aren't fun, okay? Endure hardness, a good soldier. And so I want to say that keeps our church attendance down, okay? Understand that. There are people who will visit our church and they're used to, man, God's going to bless you, everything's going to be great, it's happy, it's go lucky. And they come to our church and they say, hey, you're going to go, you're in a war, and you're going to battle. And they're going, I don't want to hear that. I want it to be happy and fun. And so they don't come back. Okay? Let's understand that. That happens regularly. But, fortunately, I'm not trying to build a church. I'm just trying to preach the truth. And so, I didn't realize how many times Jesus did this to people. He just said, you better count the cost of following me. It's not going to be easy. And that's biblical, and that's probably why we have such good Christians in our church, and because they're prepared for it. Luke 14. So the conclusion is, we're just going to keep doing what we do. And Luke 14 and verse 26, if a man come to me and hate not his father, his mother, his wife, his children, and brethren, and his sisters, yea, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross, boy, Jesus would not have been a good prosperity gospel and preacher, would he have? And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. And which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it, lest happily after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish it. Or what king going forth to war and make against another king sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 men to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an embassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever of he that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Well, it's pretty strong. Count the cost. It costs something to serve the Lord. Let's look at Acts. Let's watch it continue on into the apostles preaching the gospel. Acts 14. And verse 21. And when they had preached the gospel to that city, they had taught many. They returned to Lystra and Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. We must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. It's hard, and you better be ready for it. The Thessalonians were serving the Lord. Let me take it to 1 Thessalonians. They were serving the Lord in a good church and doing well, but they were going through so much trouble now that they're serving the Lord. They thought they were in the tribulation. And they thought, it appears that they just thought, you know, Jesus come back any day now. It's so bad. And Paul wrote them and said, no, this is just part of being a Christian. And 1 Thessalonians and chapter 3, just read just one verse, but there's lots of, you read the whole book 1 Thessalonians, it's preparing for that. And 2 Thessalonians also. 1 Thessalonians 3, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that ye are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and you know. Okay, you see, it's saying it everywhere. The heat is going to come on. If you don't have deep roots, you're going to wither. Okay, Christians must be strong. They must be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. They must be tough. Matthew and chapter 10. I should have kept you there. Let's go to Matthew 10 and verse 21. Again, I'm just showing you this, how often this is a Bible concept. Matthew 10, verse 21, and brothers shall deliver up the brother to death, and father the child, and the children shall rise against their parents, and cause them to be put to death, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. Okay, do you see that your family might not like it? Of course, there's tribulation times, there's Christian, this is stuff, everybody needs to be ready. Verse 38, and he that taketh not his cross, and followeth after me, is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loses his life for my sake shall keep it. let me go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. Well, do you want the Lord? Do you want to be used by God? Do you want to enter into heaven rich? Or do you want a happy life on this earth? Which do you want? Because they don't go together. It is not an easy thing. Now, Jesus talks about those who take their ease in this world, and you know, they die, and they don't have much, and so it's not easy to be a Christian, but it's blessed. It's worth it. It will be worth it, all we sing, when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. And so, listen, I want to say this. When you come in expecting a fight and you get hit, it doesn't knock you out. It doesn't make you cry and run away. You say, I expect to get hit. If you're just standing there, if you're standing in the mall and somebody walks up and punches you, you're not expecting it. If you're standing in church, you're grabbing your donut and somebody walks up and punches you in the face, well, you're pretty messed up and upset. Okay? And so when you're ready, when you're prepared for it. And so I find those who just say, you know, the devil's going to come after me because I'm serving the Lord now. Okay. I'm going to fight back. And I think it gets a lot easier. And I find with the things that I suffer, I usually find out in my life, I've said this so many times, I'm surprised I've not had it worse. That's the way I feel. I mean, to be honest with you, you know, I got this sickness that I've had and that's been 6 months now, and I had a bad week this week with one of my wrists and stuff like that, still affecting me. And, you know, I'll be honest with you, it really doesn't bother me that bad. It just doesn't. I mean, it's not something I like, it's not something I love, but, man, I could have gotten Ebola in some country. I could have been attacked. I could have been kidnapped. I could have been killed. I could have had a thousand things happen to me. And I feel like my life, I've never had, I've never been thrown in jail for the gospel. I've never been beaten. I'm surprised with my reckless life. I've been through worse. Yet, because I expect and I read the biographies. I read Wesley when he sent his preacher boys out. Every day they had to come back and give a report. And they were graded by how many projectiles were thrown at them. Okay? And I know, because I think this way, most, you know how I'm not sympathetic. Oh, I'm really tired of like coming to church. You know, they made fun. I mean, it's just, to me, I'm like, you're going to whine about that? You're gonna not come to church because you're tired? Man, boy, good thing you're not really suffering for the gospel. If you were in New Testament times, what if you had to live in the catacombs? You understand, Christians underneath Rome were the graves underneath. And so the Christians were persecuted for being Christians, and the Romans were afraid of the catacombs out there haunted, so they wouldn't go into them. It's the only safe place they had, so they would live their entire lives under the city in the graves. The kids were born there and raised there. What if you had to do that? I know you have to miss this game to go to church. And so I think that way, and so I'm not easy on people. And why? Because I think that you need to be prepared to suffer for Christ. You're going to pay a price. It's okay. Tough it out. Be strong. Oh, what verses am I in? I got so many verses. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 8. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or me as prisoner, but be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the grace of God. Be a partaker. Dig in. Become a part of this suffering for Jesus. Chapter 2. In verse 11 and 12, it is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. Chapter 3 in verse 12, it says, yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. I'm going to read out of 1 Peter. I'm overdoing it here with the Bible, if that's possible, with Bible verse. I just wanted to see how much the Bible said this, because I was a little surprised. And verse 12, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial. This is 1 Peter 4:12, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. And if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. You understand? Here's the same attitude. You're going to go through it. Be ready for it. But man, it's great that you get to do this. What a privilege. 1 Peter 4:1, for as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, for he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. It's all over. You're going to have times when you're mad at somebody, you got to come to church anyway. You're going to have times when you don't feel like reading your Bible, you have to read it. You're going to have times when you're discouraged and you're going to need to go encourage somebody else. You're going to have to be tough because the heat's coming. You have to be tough. That's part of the deal. And I'm so glad even in church today, people are in pain today who came to church anyway. Praise the Lord. That's good. People are tired. People are discouraged to come. I mean, and you're going to have to take a stand for Christ and witness if you don't feel like it. You're going to be mocked at work sometimes, your friends and family. That's part of the deal. Prepare them for that. They'll do a lot better. And prepare yourself for it, because otherwise, as remember we said last week, the laborers get shot at more. And so be prepared for that. You're going to, if you want God to use you, you are going to get blasted. And so that's okay. It says rejoice because you're going to get a great reward in heaven. And suffering for Christ is an honor. It's one of the most amazing verses in the Bible. Just an amazing verse. And I think it's 2 Corinthians. Paul said, I am making up for the afflictions that I haven't suffered. I can't think of how he phrased it. He says, I didn't suffer for a long, long time. I was giving out the persecutions. I am making up for that now by suffering more than anybody else. He says, I'm trying to catch up in my sufferings. I went way too much time without suffering for the Lord. And so it's a different mindset. But it's good. Number two, and by the way, it's awesome to serve the Lord. And hardships are okay. Number two, help them get the right roots. Back in our text there, Matthew 13, this is the key here because the heat is coming. The sun's going to shine on them. It's going to get real hot. And so if that's going to happen, it says the problem is the roots, Matthew 13. And verse 21, yet he hath not root in himself, but endureth for a while, for when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word he is offended. And so it says he doesn't have a root. That's the problem. So if you're going to make it through the hard times, and I want to tell you this, I do not know who's going to make it as a Christian. You know what's funny? It's you. I'm so often shocked. I'll have someone come to church and I'll think, they're never coming back. I just think that. I think they're just not, you know what? They're not going to do it. And the funniest thing is they love it. I'm always so surprised at that. So many times I've had somebody tell me, so-and-so is going to come best. I'm going to tell you, they don't like hard preaching. They're not gonna like it. They're gonna and they'll come and they'll love it, and they'll keep on going. Somebody else, I think the kind of church you're looking for, and they'll tell me, "Oh man, I can't find any churches to preach the truth." I say, "Well, come to our church." They'll come to our church and think they're gonna love it, and they're offended because they preach on their sin. We always love it. We love hard preaching on other people's sins. I find out, but not on our own necessarily, and so. I never know who's going to make it. I don't know. Sometimes it's just some, but I, you know this, they got to have some roots in them if they're going to keep on going. What are roots? Roots are something deep that goes down deeper. See, these roots were just in the rocks, and they were just right on the surface. You know when you pull out a weed and it just pulls right out? There's other roots. It's this tall, but you just keep on digging to get to the bottom of the root. Okay? You have a root in you that says, I am getting heat on top, but I got roots that go down deep. Big trees can go through very long droughts because their roots go down way down and there's a lot of moisture. And deep roots in Christ, those deep roots can handle a lot of heat up top because they're not getting their life from the surface. And if it's the fun of Christianity, the fun of church, and the entertainment, and the friends and the donuts that keep you serving the Lord. Well, Jess is going on vacation. He buys the donuts. He's been gone for 3 weeks, so you're not going to come for the next 3 weeks. I shouldn't have said that. Our attendance is going to drop. If you can't do it for deeper reasons, you got to have that. What are some roots to give them? First of all, just a love for Jesus. If you love me, keep my commandments. See, eventually, they might not have good motives. They might just come to church because they need to find out how to quit doing bad things, or they think it's fun, or you're their friend, or they just like the people there, or they think the pastor's wonderful, or whatever. They come for that. But eventually, they're going to have to fall in love with Jesus. And you got to point them to Jesus, how good he is, the cross, and what the price he paid for them. Next, they got to have a personal relationship with the Lord. That's called abiding. Remember, you're the vine, I'm the branches. If you abide in me, you bring forth much fruit. Well, if they're plugged into Jesus, in other words, they'll be attached to you for a while. They'll follow you as you follow Christ. They will be a shallow Christian. That's where you start. A baby's dependent, okay? But eventually, a baby's got to get their own life, their own work ethic, their own things, because they got to face the real world someday. And so as a new Christian, that's all right. You're going to tell them what to do. You're going to motivate them. You're going to wake them up. You're going to call them on Sunday. You're going to do all the things you have to do. No problem with that. It's fine, but eventually they've got to personally get close to Christ. They've got to get to know the Lord themselves, and you got to get those roots in them. The roots of being real. Hypocrisy's got to be rooted out, because hypocrites who are doing it to impress people, they don't keep doing it when the heat comes. And you got to learn to be real. And they got to have a personal walk with the Lord. The first thing we're going to do very quickly at Open Door, and the first thing I always do with converts, you know what I do? Give them a Bible. Get them in a Bible reading program. Get them to pray. Why? I want them to get rooted into Christ. They've got to have deep roots, a relationship with him. And so we've got to do that. All right, next. We said number one, after salvation, they need to count the cost of discipleship. Number two, help them get the right roots. Number three, and you got to develop those right roots in them and help them. Number three, pray for them. Let me take you to Luke chapter 23. See, the devil's going after them. You're going to know that. Devil's going after you, so you need someone to pray for you. Luke 22. So pray for them. Let me tell you, it's so important in the Bible. There's so many verses where Paul said, pray for me, and I'm praying for you. And James says, confess your faults and pray for one another. And here in Luke chapter 22 and verse 31, the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. When thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. Listen, Jesus said, you're going to need prayer, Peter. And Peter had been traveling with Jesus for 3.5 years. Even Jesus asked to be prayed for. My soul is sorrowful unto death. Pray for me. Stay and watch and pray. Paul said, pray for me that I may open my mouth boldly as I ought to speak it. Listen, if Jesus and Peter and Paul all wanted somebody to pray for them and said they needed prayer, listen, you need to be prayed for and be praying for somebody else. You've got to go to some people and say, hey, I need some prayer for some things. God helps people. God uses prayer for each other. Paul always said, I'm praying for you always, making mention of you of my prayer. You need to be prayed for, and you need praying for somebody else. And anybody you're trying to see serve the Lord, remember, Satan's desiring to thrash them, to destroy them, and you've got to be praying for them. Praying for them. Real prayer. And praying for them. And then last of all, and this is, I kind of touched on it a little bit, I want to say, remind them, or let me do this, remember and remind them it's worth it. Remember and remind them that it's worth it. Let's go to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 8. Because Bible says you're overcome with overwhelming sorrow by the sorrow of spirit, by sorrow of heart, the spirit is broken. You don't want to have, if they just think it's a miserable Christian life, and it's just, boy, it's just going to be a battle. Life's just a battle. It's just tough. Just got to endure. That's not the attitude Bible Christians had. They had the attitude it's going to be a battle and a war and it's tough, but man, we're rejoicing because we're getting treasures in heaven because of this. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice in that day and be exceedingly glad. That's the attitude. In this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Romans chapter 8, verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. And the book of Mark, in chapter 10, and verse 28. Then Peter began to say unto them, lo, we have left all and followed thee. And left everything. And Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto thee, there hath no man that hath left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands for my sake, or the gospel's, but he shall receive an hundredfold. Now in this time, houses, brethren, sisters, mothers, children, and lands, with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. So what does he say? He says, you know what? You're going to get overly rewarded for it. Now, I want to say this. If you're expecting it to be really, really bad, and you're ready for it, you're prepared, and you say, as I said this, for as much as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, being ready to suffer for Jesus. If you are ready for all kinds of heat, when you have some heat and have a pretty good life, you're doubly blessed. And I want to say that's my testimony. When I served the Lord, I just said, all right, whatever you want, and give my life to him. And I'm going to say, I look at where I live. I mean, God sent me the same climate I grew up in, Northwest. Rainy, mild, sunny for a couple months, rainy and mild. I could have been sent to all kinds of countries I've been to. And you know what? I can go to any country for 14, 10 days or whatever and be hot and miserable and sweaty, and I can do that. But you know, I'm glad I don't live there. Now, if God called me, I'd go there and I'd enjoy it and I'd praise God for it. And I would say, Lord, record every bead of sweat. I would go there. But you know what? I'm surprised how easy my life is. How blessed my life is. I have as much food as I want. I have heaters in my house. Electricity that works almost all the time. I have clean water. I can go out and witness to anybody, and I've never had anybody beat me, hit me, throw anything at me. We had a couple of us on us one time. People throw eggs at them down the street. That was about the worst we've gotten. Our lives are so much better. I get to enjoy all. They can't fire you from your job for being a Christian. It's amazing. We are blessed. Now, is it easy? Am I saying it's easy? No. We go through our own battles, don't we? Our battles in our mind. The devil can't beat us up physically, but he can beat us up mentally, emotionally. He can tempt us like crazy. He's got a wicked world to tempt us, and the tempting gets pretty tiring. We suffer. And you know what? This is what we're used to. And so this suffering for us is probably just as hard as the person who's in poverty who suddenly loses their job. Because we're not used to that kind of hardship. Okay? But I want to say, if you come into it and you're not expecting it to be easy, you're expecting Satan to go after you, you're expecting to be in a war and battle and attack, you know what? You kind of enjoy life because you didn't expect it to be that easy. You expected to be in a war. And if you're in a war, listen, I love one of the funniest things I ever hear is when someone talks about they were back when I was in World War II, but they were, I know one guy who's in World War II, and he always talked about World War II and us veterans from World War II. He stayed in the States and was a typist for a colonel. Now, he went through basic training, went through all that stuff and everything like that. But, you know, if you're a soldier and everybody else is, you know, in the jungles shooting at each other and they're landing in Iwo Jima and you're putting new, you know, you're getting hangnails from typing too much, then it's not so bad, the war. And that's kind of how we should feel. Well, that's why we should honor these missionaries who go there and be a blessing to them and help them. And that's why we should go out and say, you know, the Christian life's great. But you know what? If we start getting persecuted, America might change. We might start suffering. If that happens, we're going to enjoy serving God still. Because you know what? It's a great life serving God. Let alone forget earth in heaven for trillions and for all eternity. We reap the great rewards. And he says, rejoice, be at peace. I know you're going to go through these things. That's okay. So prepare people for that and prepare yourself for that. You're going to have times you don't understand. You're going to have times when the devil's pounding you and you just everything's dark, and you're going to go through times of oppression. You're going to go through times when Satan is just making you miserable and angry and all the. You're going to be in a war. You just don't change anything. You just keep on fighting. You just keep doing right. You say, you know what? Expected this. It's okay. We're going to keep on going. And then you, as you disciple people and train people and reach people, you train them that, there's a cost of serving God. You want to pay that cost because Satan's going to go after you. Then they're not, oh, I don't believe it. I started serving God and my girlfriend broke up with me. Forget this stuff. And you don't want that because stuff's going to happen. But, hey, Jesus paid a lot for us. He suffered a lot for us. Let's suffer for him if need be. All right, let's go ahead and pray. Lord, help us to be prepared to take the heat and give other people preparation for the heat. And I just pray that we would also show the joy of the Lord in these things, as your word says so often. Thank you for the chance to be at church today. Thank you for dedicated Christians who love you. And I pray that today we'd be dedicated to you and serve you with all our heart, soul, mind, strength, and that we would be here in the heat and say, that's okay, heaven's coming. Thank you for your word. Thank you for showing us how to do it. Thank you for your apostles also showing us how to do it. In jail with stripes in their backs, praising God at midnight. Lord, may we be like that. And show the joy of the Lord, our strength. And go out and reach some people and prepare them to fight Satan. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you're dismissed. We'll be back in about 12 minutes for our main service.